Well, today we're going on still in our teaching, and we in the areas of righteousness, and we had titled this A Righteousness by Faith, and that's what it is. It's by faith. And in the operation of faith, if we talked about confession, as Mark 11, 23 is when Jesus had told the disciples, if they say on this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and they don't doubt in their heart, they believe the thing that they say will come to pass, they'll have what they say. And in that principle, we need to understand is what the foundation of faith is all about. Faith is believing something in your heart and saying it. And this is why we righteousness by faith. The righteousness of faith comes by faith. Is number one is believing something and saying it is part of what righteousness is. If we're going to come to a righteous consciousness, you can't just talk anything you want. And which we started before we started here, we're talking about, you know, is dealing the areas of discipline. Is one of the things is faith is really a discipline of learning to discipline yourself to faith, of believing, disciplining yourself to believe the word of God, and through believing and confessing the word of God as part of that discipline is doing it. If anything you find that people say, as Kenneth Hagin, when Jesus appeared to him, and told and gave him a revelation about this and talked to him about this, he told him to look at Mark 11, 23. And when he told him to do it, he said, you see there that it says one time believe, but three times it says to say. And he said, you're going to have to teach people three times more about saying than believing. You know, it's natural, really, whether we understand spiritually, your human spirit, it's natural for you to believe something that God says in your heart. That's a natural thing. But understand, we live in an earth, and your mind and everything is, when you get born again, is not renewed to a lot of things. It sure helps if you're born and raised in a family that teaches you some things and teaches us values and things, moral values and stuff, of how to talk and what to do. But the confession part of it is really a discipline as to learning to do. That's where most people have their faith problem. And a lot of people say, well, they have their problem in their believing. Lots of times it's not. Lots of times it's people's voices, the things they say. They end up talking like most people around them, and they learn to pick up the lingo and the slang of the society and talk it. And after a while, you know, what does that stuff mean? What am I saying? And after a while, the meanings of things get changed. And we need to understand is being in our heart is we need to get over in the area of our confession. And our confession is a huge thing. If we want to live and walk in this righteousness, we're going to have a righteous confession about ourselves, because we will never develop into what we would like to be without controlling our mouth. Just as James alone said, you know, if you could, a man could control his tongue, he could control his whole body. That's an incredible thing. You know, if we want to come to the place where if we're living in a society and even in a church world where people live in uncontrolled flesh, they follow the desires of the flesh and they just do all kinds of stuff. You know, we have a lot of from sexual immorality. Where does all of that come from? Well, that comes from people following the lust of the flesh. So in other words, the flesh is out of control. James said if a person could control what their mouth, their tongue, what it says, they could control their whole body. So in other words, it doesn't sound right. You know, there's a lot of Christian, oh yeah, just control what you say is going to do it. Oh yeah, yeah. You know, that just, oh, that's, you know, that's some kind of psychology. No, it's not. It's about how faith works. It's how it operates. You believe things and you say them and they don't understand. People's flesh is out of control because they have been taught that your flesh is just going to be out of control. You're just going to sin. That's what they've been taught in church. So, I mean, why sit and talk any different? You're just going to do it. So they don't realize they're giving through their voice, they give their flesh power. Well, how do we diminish that? How do we do it? And it's number one is beginning to see who you are and what you are. There's one thing that I've noticed over the years, and I've watched this, and it is an amazing thing. You know, people that come out of a relatively, let's say a relatively wealthy family, and I don't care if their families don't give them a bunch of money, they generally become wealthy people. And people don't understand how that works. Well, you know, they get a better education, they get better. Well, the education may help some and things like that, but it's how they view themselves and see themselves. They don't act like poor people. They don't ever talk like poor people. But I've watched this over the years, just attend a wedding sometime. You attend a wedding with people that are in a higher class and that, you don't go and find a bunch of drunks and that stuff when they have served liquor and things and stuff, or they're serving alcoholic beverages. You don't see all the drunks. You go to a lower strata. Mm-hmm. And you see them. Why? It's how people view and see themselves. See, those group of people that are in that higher class, what they do is they have been taught to show a certain appearance around people. Behind closed doors, what may go on, you don't want to know. Sometimes you find out about that in society. But out, they're told to give a certain appearance. The other people, oh, I act out in front of people just like I always do. I'm just myself. Those are people you want to stay away from. Those people that are going to just be, I'm just going to be me. What they usually tell you, I'm going to act like a scumbag. Watch me. But you can see it. It's how people are trained, though, in life. It's what they believe they are. Then they become it. You know, if you follow people through, look at histories of people's lives who started businesses, became wealthy, then lost their business and stuff. How many of them actually come back, get rich again? Some numbers of times, if things go wrong, they still come back and do it. They're trained and taught in a certain way. They follow that. You go out here generally, and in fact, just here not long ago, they published a report out. You know, poor people are just going to stay poor. It's the way they are, their makeup, they've been taught to be, and they believe it, and they're just going to stay poor. They're actually teaching people that you can't change, basically. So the government's using this as in a way as, well, now they're going to be poor. Well, we just got to take care of them all their life, and this is what we're going to have to do. But what it is really a spiritual condition, and it's a conditioning in life. It's how they're conditioned. But you can change it. Believe me, I know what I've changed from when I got born again. But number one, it's going to require a discipline to do that. It's going to require, and this is why as we're teaching about righteousness here. We're teaching about something that we are. See, in the church world doesn't teach, generally, is not teaching righteousness. They don't generally teach that. They teach, oh, God's righteous, he's this, he's that. But, you know, us, we're not. So what we don't identify to what we really are. So if people don't hear it and they're not taught, they're taught, yes, you know, Jesus, Jesus overcame sin and you never will. See, you're taught those things. Those things are trained. Religion has pumped it into people. So people don't arrive to what they're supposed to be. And the only way that you can do that is by, you have to teach people the right things, and then they must view themselves in the light of it. And that's why we started off in the beginning teaching our positional truth of who, what we are. Now we're going on is how do you make this real in your life? Well, the first thing you're going to have to learn to do is confession of how you say and what you say about you and your standing. It isn't enough to know that you have a good standing. You're going to have to talk it so you can live it. You can live that standing. As much as a person would know that their position in Christ, that they're healed, if they don't learn to use their tongue, they'll never bring their body under in line for healing. Whatever they talk and say, whatever they do, I don't care if they know what scripture says. I don't care if they can quote me 5 million scriptures on a subject. That's great. But if when their regular talk and things about their condition is something different, well, they are going to go more by what they have been speaking than what they know. It is amazing how our voice guides us. And beginning to say them. And it's number one, when you believe the truth in your heart, the power of bringing it to pass is through voice. The power of bringing it to pass is not just believing it. This has been one of the most misrepresented things ever in the body of Christ, is the fact that if you believe something, that's what's important. No, it's not. It's good, now praise God, to believe what's true. How many people out here believe what's true and know that something's true, but yet they go opposite of it? That isn't what they want to do. So did it do any good to believe the truth? It was no value at all. But how do I get myself from the things to believing to get this stuff working on the outside? The number one thing is to set in motion. Many people are trying to do the truth without releasing the power of the truth. And the power of the truth is released through our voice. Jesus said the mountain moves because I believe in my heart and say with my mouth. He didn't say believing in your heart was going to move the mountain. He didn't say that was going to set into motion. See, you take Jesus' actions of speaking. Jesus' actions corresponded to his words he said. When Jesus spoke to the disciples about telling that mountain to move, be cast to sea, he had done it from what he had done speaking to a tree. He spoke to that tree and he said words. And you know what? Jesus walked away like it's going to take place. He didn't stand around there to watch to see if that thing was going to do anything. Jesus' actions correspond. Well, see, he was trained over time. He was trained that his words would bring things to pass. He knew that. He understood that. It's what he's teaching the disciples. This, the things that you say. So he spoke to that tree. He walked away and left. When he come back the next day with the disciples, they were, whoa, this tree's dead. It dried up by the roots. How did they know it dried up from the roots? Well, they knew the root system wasn't taking water in. The leaves are on it are wilting. This tree is sitting there in a Mount of Olives with all the, in an olive grove with all these other olive trees. And it's withered up. The leaves are starting to wither. You know, did you ever look at a plant and ain't getting enough water? You have a potted plant, you forgot to water it, you walk out there, and it's like the next day and it's all leaves are with. This is what they knew. It's this thing's dying. And they say, man, this thing's withered up. The leaves on this thing are withering. Hey, you did this. Jesus nonchalantly talked to them, and he talked to them about what they say. You believe it? You say this thing? Well, he didn't ever thought that that wasn't going to work. Well, see, Jesus was highly developed in this. They weren't. Well, I came in the kingdom. I sure wasn't highly developed in any of that. But we have to do it. And the church generally doesn't preach it. And even a lot of spirit-filled have moved away from these things of understanding. You know, they don't just not know about it. Even ones who know about it don't understand why it works or how it works. And they don't understand that the power of our voice is so powerful when it's tied to your human spirit. You got born again because you believed something in your heart and you spoke it. It actually changed your spiritual condition just by doing that. Think about this. You went from a child of devil to becoming a child of God just because you believed words and then said them. When people talk about healing in the body is nothing compared to having your spiritual nature completely changed. That was unheard of. That never happened until Jesus was raised from the dead. That never took place. He was the first one to have it happen. And now we can have that happen and through the simplest thing of believing something in your heart and saying it with your mouth. So we need to understand this power. If I want to change things and how I live and what goes on or change things on the outside, it's by believing and saying. That's why Jesus said all things are possible to him that believeth. He wasn't talking about just I believe it and it's going to change. It's the whole principle of faith he's talking about. The principle of faith is believing and saying. That's the principle that puts all the things into motion. And this is why when we look at these things, we want to look today is the power of a righteous confession. Righteousness will not produce in us what it wants to manifest on the outside of us if people don't start saying the right things. Because it's not enough, most Christians would be very hesitant to say, you know, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. They'd be very hesitant to say that. I'm going to tell you why. Get around Christian friends sometime and, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I've been made righteous. That's what I am. You talk that in any kind of boldness, and I'm going to tell you what. Some of the most staunch Christians will look at you like, they might not say it to you, but I'll tell you what. They'll be whispering when you're not there about to you, the other people. Oh, yes. He's going to one of those crazy churches. They believe these crazy things. Well, they do. I've learned over the years that used to bother me, and now I could care less because I realize. And they're ignorant. They don't know. They don't know. They'll swear they know things, but a lot of it they don't know. And this is a basic. It's just like from the book of Revelation. In Revelation, the 12th chapter, there's a scripture that was used there. And it's a powerful scripture dealing with the people, the believer in that era, that time, that era that's going on, that era that's happening there and the things in the earth, the believers at that time. And it says in verse 11, and they overcame him. This is dealing with Satan. This is Satan, his Antichrist system operating in the earth through the Antichrist. All this. They overcame him, what? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to the death. But it says they over, how did they overcome him? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. In other words, how do they do by the blood of the Lamb? They believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. They believed, the Bible says we preach the cross of Christ. They believed that Jesus died, shed his blood, and that was how they got saved. But how did they overcome him? By the words of their testimony. Actually, in the literal Greek is the words of their lips. They overcame him by the blood of Jesus and the words of lips. Just think of this. You overcame the devil by the blood of Jesus and the words of your lips. That's how you got saved. That's how you got born again. That's how you became a child of God. You overcame Satan. We'll say, this is what most people are think of. When they talk about I got to overcome the devil and what he's doing. No, you don't. Jesus already overcame the devil. How did they overcome him? They believed on Jesus and they confessed his lordship. And Satan now does not have authority. He don't have authority to haul them off to hell or any place. He doesn't have that authority anymore. Why? Satan's already been defeated by Christ. And this is what the church needs to get. We're not trying to defeat Satan. He is defeated. The Bible says that Christ defeated him, took his weapons from him. You know what Satan's weapon is? Here's Satan's weapon. To convince you to talk like you're not saved. To talk like you're too ugly and God wouldn't save you anyhow. To keep you over. And if you get saved and know you're saved, then he'll try to talk you in the fact that you can't have nothing. That you're just trying to make it here to get by so he can beat you up. All he uses is deception. And what does he do? Words. Why does the devil talk so much? Why does the devil work so hard to get false doctrine in the church to get you to believe wrong things? That's his whole thing, is to work at that. Why? So you will believe certain things and say them about you and yourself, your conditions around you, so you will not walk in the victory that is already yours. He knows if you agree with what the Bible, he's in trouble concerning you. He can't make you do certain things. But if he can get you to believe wrong things and start talking those things, he will control you. And that's how he controls people. He gets them to believe something that's wrong. Then he gets that person to talk those things. That's what he does. Have you ever met a person who's having mental problems that's not hearing voices? I never met one. And what happens? They talk those voices. They say those things. And that, the devil couldn't release the power. He can't release any power. The power's in us. It's in the human. We as people in this earth created by God have been given authority in the earth. The authority of the earth has been given to man. That's why the keys of the kingdom are this. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In other words, the believer, the one who believes, has authority now concerning heaven. The sinner doesn't have authority concerning heaven. He can't loosen heaven or bind, he's not doing that. But he can set Satan's power loose in this earth. He can do that. And how does he do it? By his voice, just the way heaven. Hell don't operate any different than heaven operates. It's by faith. It's who you believe and what you believe and what you say. That's what determines what goes on in the earth. So, just think about this. If Satan and his power over what we call Satan's kids, and the Bible does, they're Satan's kids. Does Satan have full rule over them, can do anything he wants? Well, of course not. My God, could you imagine what things would be like if he could do that? There would not be a human being left alive today on the face of the earth. We find that when Satan is given some authority to go forth, what does he do? He's trying to destroy all humanity. See, he can't do that now. He can't make that happen. So what does he do? He tries to get people to use their voice to believe things that he says and then use their voice to loose it in the earth, to bring his power to loose it, to make it happen. That's what he does. The more the people in the earth, it's just like today. Why do people get so bad today on the earth and it's getting worse and worse? It's because people what they're believing and what they're saying. See, we're changing all here in America what we believe. Our whole culture is changing what it believes. So, and it's talking more garbage, more trash, more stuff. And those words are taking place more. Immorality is all right. So people talk and say it. They start performing it and doing it. They start, and it sets it loose in the earth. It don't just happen. It happens as men begin to change their belief system and then talk those things that they believe and start to speak them, and they release it into the earth. Well, it doesn't work any different in the kingdom of God. You and I came along and God put his word in the earth and the gospel that's preached. How will they believe unless it's preached? Well, in other words, words are spoken. Words are said into the earth. And if I believe those words, and I receive them as true, and I begin to see it. The first thing that happens to me is if I make the confession that Paul, the Apostle Paul said to believe in her heart, you know, Jesus died and, God, and confess with my mouth, God raised him from the dead, he said, I'd be saved. See, those words release the power of God to produce in me exactly what the scripture said would take place. It could bring it to pass. And that's why with these ones, they overcame him how? By the blood of the Lamb and the words of their lips. It's always been like that. It has never changed. And during the time of the tribulation, it's the same thing. That's how they overcome. It's not a different way to overcome. There's not a different way. And so when people begin to have to change what their words say and what they're speaking from their mouth to begin to say the right things. So people need to begin to speak what the words of God say and follow those words. In the book of, I want to just quick to go to Hebrews, the ninth chapter, and Hebrews, the ninth chapter, because we entered the kingdom through faith. We entered it through speaking words, believing words in our heart, speaking words. See, that's why if you understand this, it doesn't sound ridiculous to talk to the mountain, to believe something in your heart and say it. It's not a ridiculous thing. But it sounds ridiculous, surely, in our society to do this thing. It sounds crazy. In the Apostle Paul, in writing the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews, the ninth chapter, he's talking about the priesthood of Jesus. And he says here, but Christ came in verse 11, says, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained an eternal redemption. So we have here the cross of Christ through his blood. He obtained something for mankind. It's already obtained. So you're not trying to obtain salvation from the standpoint, you know, this is what people say, you know, you got to ask Jesus to forgive your sins. In other words, if that really did happen, to get saved, you had to do that. That means Jesus would have to come down again, die on the cross, specifically for individual, each one at a time. Well, no, that was already done. That was performed. So he obtained this salvation. What do? We receive it. That's what we do. Well, how did we receive it? The words of our lips. We believed it, and then the words of our lips obtained it for us. That's how we got it. That's what we did. So see, this huge power that we sit around, and this is why when Christians talk about power, really, it's a misconception that most Christians have about power. We want to operate in power, surely. But what causes power to work? The Apostle Paul said, I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. He said the gospel is the power. In other words, the words of God is what the power is. Well, how the words of God, how's that power work? What does it do? My believing what the words say, and then releasing that power with the words of my mouth. That's how we did it. That's how we got saved. That's how the power of God was released. The Holy Spirit really doesn't have anything to do if man doesn't believe and say things. He really, even as a Christian, Christians walk around and say, the Holy Ghost is in me. Well, is it any value? Having the Spirit of God in an individual may be of no value whatsoever if the person is not believing what the Holy Ghost is trying to teach him and then saying those things. So the power doesn't go to work. Well, we want to put that power to work, especially in our lives. It's not enough to preach the gospel to get others to save, and I can't live this salvation. Isn't that pretty awful? And this is what we have today. Preachers running around to get people saved and then tell them you can't live it anyhow. We're just down here to hang on until he drags us out of here. And it's terrible. Well, It's sort of like, you know, as I was talking on Sunday, it requires power to live this thing. There's the anointing of God. Well, understand it's about the anointing. One thing of the anointing we have in us, the Holy Spirit's the anointing of God. We have anointing in us. But there's got to be anointing released. And a lot of that is hooked into what we believe and start saying. What we believe and say, if we don't get the right believing and saying, we're never going to get the right doing. It all works in hand. It's a principle that follows through. Many Christians are trying to live right without believing and saying what's right. That's misery, man. That's just year after wow, this is what happens. Ah, forget it. I ain't going to ever be able to do this. You're just going to sin, you know. That's the gospel of powerless Christianity. That's the gospel of it. It doesn't know because it rejects the confession part. It rejects this believing in God. It rejects saying unto this mountain. It rejects that. And yet, that's what Jesus taught. And it does, it works for us. So, righteousness is not just believing righteousness, but it's talking righteous, saying the righteous things, or saying the right things. That's what righteousness is. Righteousness is, we might have righteousness and we might have been made righteous, but righteousness is nothing without speaking righteousness, believing what's right, and saying what's right. So we want to start off with saying, and it's number one, if we want to end up doing what's right, it's sure going to be a lot more helpful if we start speaking what's right than trying to just go in and doing it. Start saying the right things. Because you start saying the right things, you'll want to do the right things because you'll see the importance, because I'm interested in outcome. It just seems strange to me that most of Christianity is not interested in outcome. And I know that because of what they believe about prayer. You know, sometimes God says yes, sometimes he said no. So they believe in praying and not having outcome. Well, this is my thought. Why pray? If I have no guarantee of outcome, I'm going to start doing some things that I can get some outcome. And if prayer isn't going to, I can't count in prayer give an outcome. To me, it seems like a pretty stupid thing to do. Doesn't make any sense to do it. So most of Christianity does not believe in outcome. They don't. They don't believe in outcome. I believe in outcome, and I believe God's word produces outcome. I'm in this reward system. You just do it to get something. Is there any other reason? Did you confess Jesus as Lord because you didn't care what the outcome would be? Dear Lord, it was all about outcome. I didn't want to be under the wrath of God. I didn't want to end up in hell. Dear Lord, I was interested in outcome. There's nothing in life of any value if you're not interested in outcome. You're interested in the outcome or the reward of what it is. And are we trying to get something bad to happen? Is that what we want? I'm really working out. You know what? I want something bad to happen to me today. I'll tell you, I'm gonna believe God. So it's getting ourselves, and really, it's amazing because religion, and you're running into people all the time. They have warped minds. Their minds have been warped by their teaching. The Christians' minds have been warped in their thinking, and they don't realize how much they work against themselves, and they're working really to hinder themselves. We want to look at things. I want to go over to Ephesians, to back up into the book of Ephesians. And Ephesians, the first chapter, is absolutely is a good thing to read. Even in the beginning of this chapter, what it says about us is absolutely credible. But I want to take part of it, just in verse, starting at verse 3 here, in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." I want you to see what it says. It does not say he's going to bless you, does it? It doesn't say you have to believe him to bless you, does it? But isn't that what most Christians do? Aren't most Christians taught to pray to be blessed? They're asking God to bless them. This is what it says. Blessed be. Now here's what, in other words, Paul's saying, blessed be thy God. Isn't it like our God is something? The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Something he's already done. See, every Christian, it is not a Christian, it should never be a cliche to a Christian to say that I'm blessed. What becomes most people, it's a cliche, because what happens, you've watched that most of the same individuals, if they're going through difficulty, they're never saying I'm blessed.
No, you just don't know what I'm going through. You just don't know how bad things are.
You see, their confession. They don't talk like they're still blessed. If something bad happens, then they act like they talk like they're not blessed. No, you're blessed. I don't care what the devil carried your way. You're blessed. You're not trying to get God to bless you. You are never trying to get God bless you. If all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, then you're not trying to get God to bless you. You are receiving the blessing. Do you remember Jesus said, when you pray in Mark 11:24, when you pray, believe you receive it. He didn't say, when you pray, ask me for it. Did he? That's exactly what Christians are taught to do. We're asking God for it. No, we're not. We're believing and receiving. You know, I remember when Josh here wanted to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When I sat down and talked to him, and I said to Josh, you're not trying to get God to give you the Holy Ghost. That's already been done. All you're going to have to do is just receive it. That's all you got to do. Just receive it. That's all we do is we receive what he's already given. In other words, you're going to get baptized because if you ask him by faith for it, he's going to baptize you because he said we're supposed to believe and receive it. He's already wanting to give it. This is what he wants. He wants you to have that. He wants you to take it. Well, now that's the exact opposite. It was very easy for him to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit because it was already given. You see, if Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, this is one thing is people getting healed. That's a lot of times why I have a hard time because people have, even the Spirit-filled people have been trained. They're trying to get healed. They have been trained this. They're waiting. God will do it in his good time. That is an exact unbelief statement that isn't true. It means God hasn't given. He hasn't blessed them with every blessing. He hasn't done it yet. They got to get him and he's going to give it to them at a certain time now. So they wonder why 5 years down the road, they're still saying that and it hasn't come. And they'll keep saying that till they close the coffin because it can't come because there's no faith in it. Faith is from God's word. So God's already blessed you. Isn't that wonderful? I remember years ago when I read that and I got a hold of that, man, that changed about, man, it was like, woohoo, I'm already blessed. I ain't trying to get blessed. You know, I was over in India and over, this is what they're taught like the Hindus over in India, a lot of the Christians are. And what they always coming up and say, I want the blessing. I want the blessing. And I always say, what do you mean want the blessing? Well, I want to be prayed for and God will bless me. I said, well, why would you want me to pray for you for that? God will bless you. And I remember one guy came to me and he said, I want you to pray for me. He said, for God's blessing. He said, and for my daughter's getting married and she's marrying a guy that they're getting blessed. I want you to pray for the blessing on their marriage. And I said, first of all, I said, because I knew he was coming at this blessing thing. It's no matter praying for somebody and praying something good over somebody for something. But I knew he was heading in the wrong direction in this thing. And I said to him, well, why would I have to ask God to bless you? And he really looked at me strange. And I said, your daughter. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, so your daughter, a born-again Christian and child of God, filled with the Holy Ghost? Yeah. I said, is your son to be son-in-law? Is he? Yeah. She said, they go here to this church? I said, he do? I said, my God, sounds like you're blessed. I said, and I took him over to this scripture. And I said, I read him this scripture. And I said, what the Bible says? It says, you are blessed. I said, you're asking me to do something for you that you already are. I said, you need to first see you're blessed. I said, you're blessed. And when he said, all of a sudden the light came on and he got a big grin on his face. I said, man, you're blessed, bud. He said, yeah, I am. Aren't I? I'm blessed. I said, yes, you are. You're blessed. But see, they live all through that religious stuff trying to get blessed. Oh my God, we got it here in America too. So we're not knocking the Indians. I'm just using them as an example there. But we have the same thing in here. People are always trying to get blessed. Well, then he says, now he goes on in verse 4 here, and he says, now listen to this. You're this blessed. He's blessed you. He says, he blessed you just as he chose us in him. In him is dealing with Christ Jesus. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, what God's talking about here is not the predestination that people talk about. You were predestined to be saved and somebody else wasn't. Now understand, God, because of his foreknowledge, he knows everything. He knows past, future, whatever. He knows it all. God knew that you were going to, you and I were going to accept Jesus. I mean, he could have been God, not know that. So before the foundation of the world was created, he said he chose us in him. And what he's saying is this. It's not a certain people, group of people were chosen and weren't. Jesus died for everybody. It's God's will that none should perish and all should come to repentance. What he's saying here is one, the ones who accepted Christ, I saw, and the ones that I see, I saw, they were chosen. And they were chosen with this, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. We should be holy and blameless. He said, I chose you to be holy and blameless. There you go. You've been chosen to be holy and blameless. You're holy and you're blameless. Oh, I thought I was a scumbag. I thought I just, you know. No, you're holy and blameless. You were chosen for holiness and blameless. This is what the believer was chosen. God sent Christ for this purpose. God sent it. See, well, I'm not holy and I ain't blameless. You just don't know what I did. Did you confess your sin? Yeah, but you know, I do this. I did that. Well, I did. No, I'm blameless, holy and blameless. See, if we don't get into the right thinking and grab a hold of the right thought, really, this is what righteous thinking is. See, people that don't have this, even though they may have gotten born again and did what the Word said, got born again, they have an unrighteous mind. Their mindset is totally unrighteous. And you don't want to have that. You want to take a righteous mindset. But we're holding, it says, look, having predestined you, when you accepted Christ, those ones, you were predestined. Just think about that. Before you were ever born or you were ever on this earth, God knew that you were going to accept Christ. You were predestined to be adopted into God's family. Predestined. The adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to his good pleasure of his will. Do you know what? God did what he did. He saved you and me, made us his kids, gave us every blessing in spiritual places, made you holy and blameless. And you know why he did it? He did it for his good pleasure. He liked doing it. Oh, I thought he saved us and just covered us with blood because we were such scumbags he couldn't look at us. God took pleasure in saving you and redeeming you. Just think, Jesus, that's why the Bible says he went to the cross. He said he did it with joy. Well, he was God manifest in the earth, wasn't he? He did it with joy. Why? It was God's good pleasure to save you. He didn't find it something hard or repulsive. It was his good pleasure to save you. This is righteous thinking. This is how righteous people think. You know, God was glad to save me. God was glad to redeem me. He was so glad to be able to give me every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. He was so glad to make me holy and blameless before him in love. Hallelujah. Now listen, he goes on, he says, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. You've been accepted. You are not trying to get accepted. You're not trying to live a life out here. So if you just do enough good, God will accept you. Look, that has been the works of the church. They're still trying to get God to accept them. Many people don't live a good Christian life and understand to live a good Christian life just because I'm a Christian. I'm not trying to keep God happy. If I don't do right, God ain't unhappy from the state. He ain't up there in heaven miserable. We got to get the picture. You're accepted by him. That's just the way he did it. It says, to the praise of his glory. To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us. He made us. Hallelujah. The thing where it says in verse 6, he made us accepted in the beloved. It means to he bestowed grace. He bestowed grace upon us or favor upon us. He did that. He made us or bestowed that grace or that favor on us. In other words, that's part of that over there of all the blessings. We've been given all the blessings, every blessing. See, he bestowed on us. In other words, he bestowed on you. Grace is the favor of God. You got favor. That's been given to you. And God was glad to do it. Now, think about this. See, righteousness, a person with a righteous consciousness sees themselves as favored by God. See, the false teaching that we have today that, you know, God loves everybody, so now everybody's going to be saved and everybody's, well, that there's no grace or favor in that. That's a crazy thing. In other words, those people will never have righteous thinking. You can go live like hell and end up in heaven. So there's no, what righteousness is that? There's no righteousness in it. We find here, I have favor with God. And this is where the Christian needs to come to place. We try to act, treat the world like they have favor with God like we do. Everybody's the same with God. No, they're not. You were accepted by God, and now you have favor. See, you're righteous. You have favor with God. Hallelujah. Get in the think, you know, Rod McLean, who we've had teaching our church over the years, a number of times, Rod always just say, I'm God's favorite kid. Well, actually, any Christian could say that. You know, we have from that sense, because we're all favored by him, and grace is his favor is on us. That's why you could ask anything according to his will. You can know this, that he hears you. And if you know that he hears you, then you know you have the petition that you requested him. Why? You're favored by him. You can't take that scripture and hand that to a sinner. That is a lie to a sinner. He doesn't have that. Because a sinner can't have it. But God wants you to take on a righteous thinking. Thinking right about it. Think right about yourself and seeing yourself in Christ Jesus in line with this favor that we have with him, in line with this blameless and holy before him. Created, you know, before the world was created, he planned to make you his. That was his plan. That isn't something, you know, well, you know, I'll do it, you know, in spite of who you are. God, this is the plan that God set in motion. And he did it by his good pleasure. He didn't look down and say, oh, you know, those people are such, you know, scumbags and stupid. I'm going to do it. We act like God did what he did for us, and it, like in spite of people, in spite of us. No, he didn't. It wasn't in spite of nothing. God looked down and said, you know, I want to save that bunch. This makes me happy to redeem man. This is what I really want to do. This is what turns me on. This is why I'm doing all this. I want to redeem man. And see, man has lost his value of who he is and what he is. He loses that value because if he's not taught the knowledge of God. And that's why he's to begin to speak the right things about ourselves. You know, if we miss the mark, there's nothing matter saying you missed the mark, but it tells you to confess it. But don't get over and talk down on yourself and talk. Speak about yourself of who you are. To overcome, we're overcome by doing the same principle of the blood of the Lamb, the word of our lips. We do it in the same manner. This is how you overcome. You overcome in the same manner and follow that. In Colossians, if we go forward past Philippians and hit Colossians. Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians, the first chapter. Now we'll look at Colossians, first chapter. It starts off, it's talking about Christ. Here in verse 19 says, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. All the fullness should dwell in Christ Jesus. It says, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So through the blood of the cross of Christ, God made peace through Christ, reconciled everything to himself, the things in heaven and the things in earth. You know, we have preached and we went and passed, we talked a number of times about the gospel of reconciliation. God's not holding sin. In other words, in Christ Jesus, God dealt with the sin problem. That was dealt with. And see, that we have to get there. If we have a righteous consciousness, you need to see that the sin problem's been dealt with. Now, as a Christian, it tells us if we sin, we confess our sin. But it's why we're not trying to get God to deal with the sin issue. God has already reconciled the sin issue. We're just using the power to keep ourselves pure and clean. That's because God's already offered it all. We're not kind of, you're not, you know, it doesn't tell us in 1 John 1:9 to ask him to forgive us. It says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive. In other words, forgiveness goes by our confession of what we did wrong. In other words, it sets in motion because why? The forgiveness has been, the reconciliation of forgiveness has already been done. That's been done through the blood of Jesus Christ and the new birth, his resurrection of Christ. And what we're doing is just walking in the knowledge of that. That's what we do. We confess our sin. It don't say pray and ask him to forgive you. He said, no, you confess your sin. He's faithful just to forgive you. That's an automatic. See, this is one of the things that people have a hard time when they do sin and they confess their sin and they still live under the guilt of their sin. Because they're still trying to get God to forgive them. They're asking the Lord to forgive them. If I have to ask God to forgive me, then I need to hear him say to me, you're forgiven. See, all this teaching's been wrong about this forgiveness stuff. You know, it's just like they tell people, to get saved, you got to ask God to forgive you to get saved. Well, no, you don't. If I did, well, how do I find out? They say, well, oh, the Bible says he forgave you. Well, if he's already forgiven me, what am I asking him to forgive me for? Isn't it stupid? See, we preach a confused gospel. It's confused. Well, we don't want to go there. It says, now he goes on to say this in verse 21 of Colossians, the first chapter. It says, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. You see what it says? What has he done? He has reconciled. It does not say he's going to reconcile you, does it? Or you got to get reconciled. What has he done? Because of what Jesus did through the cross and through the blood of his cross, you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind. Why? In your mind. See about the mind? What? You were enemies. See, enemies in your mind. Thinking the wrong stuff, walking around. He said, now what? See, somebody preached the gospel and changed your mind. And you're to present you whole, no, excuse me, an enemy's in your mind by wicked works, yet now has reconciled. How did he do it? In the body of his flesh through death. He did that. You're reconciled to God. And see, this is it. This is where the areas of righteousness. We taught on the reconciliation and righteousness. You got to start thinking that way and start talking like you're reconciled to God. You are. You were an enemy, but you're no longer that. He said what? To present you. What did he do all of this? To present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Did you hear that? He has presented you. It didn't say, it says in his blood, the blood of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. That's what he did. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, he did through his blood. When you confess Christ, you were presented holy and blameless before God. Do you realize God had considered you holy and blameless? Then he goes on. Now, what do we want to do? We want to continue to walk in this. He said, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you've heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. You see what he's saying? We didn't start and get saved and go talk other junk now. He said, if you stay steadfast, if you indeed you continue in the faith, grounded. Well, what is faith? Faith is believing and saying what you were believing and saying. You're blameless and holy. Talk that stuff. Don't be talking others. Here's what many Christians do. They get saved and they go talk. They leave the faith. They go right out after they got saved and they're been taught. Well, you're just an old sinner saved by grace. You're just, well, they're not walking in this faith. It says here, you continue in it grounded, steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Hope means a confident expectation of good. You stay in that confident expectation. You walk in faith. How do you maintain faith? We maintain faith through what we believe and say. Many Christians move away from the hope of the gospel. They get saved and some years later, they have listened to so much and heard so many things about what a scumbag they are that they're moved away from the hope of the gospel. They don't see themselves holy and blameless before him in love. They're talking about how we're not. And how, you know, what we are. See, you don't want to, that's why faith is not a once and done thing. It's not once and done. See, believe, the word believe is a continuous action verb in the Greek. It's continuous action. I continually to believe. I continue to believe it and say it. I continue to walk in this thing. Continually say the right thing. You know what happens? If you keep doing that 2 years from now, you're believing the same stuff. You're walking in the same thing. You're living. And you know what? You'll find 2 years from now, you're going to, in the outside, manifest more holiness and blamelessness. But if you talk like you're an old sinner, don't be surprised that 2 years down the road, you're living more like a sinner. You see, to manifest on the outside, we talk to that mountain. It may seem just like believing something and you're just saying words. But Jesus said it will move the mountain. He didn't say, if you say this instantly, the mountain's going to pick up and jump out there. Did Jesus' tree die instantly? But it will come to pass. See, it manifested on the outside. Well, we do the same thing to change our own lives. It starts with believing the right things, saying those things about ourselves. We'll eventually begin to manifest those things. That's one of the biggies, is you'll begin to say the right things about yourself. Talk righteous talk. Righteous talk is Bible talk. Say what the Bible says. And if we get a hold of that, getting the confession thing down, to where we're doing it, like the scripture says. We just got to continue in this thing. Hallelujah. Stay with the gospel, the true gospel. The gospel is the things in the book it says about us. The gospel ain't just things to get you saved. The gospel's things that keep you saved, keep you walking and living in that salvation, believing what it says, saying what it says, and manifesting what it says. If it's gospel, it's going to produce that. If it's not gospel, it's not going to produce it. So don't get moved away from the faith. Don't let things come in and get your confession to change for you. You know, just keep saying the right things. You know, God didn't make you holy and blameless, and now because you sin, you're a scumbag. That ain't what happened, folks. That didn't take place. Now, we're going to back up again, just back over to Ephesians again, to the fourth chapter. Let's go back over to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, starting verse 17, it says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind." Now, you see this? Now, when he's using a term of Gentiles here, he is talking and uses, he said, don't walk as the rest of the Gentiles. These are Gentile believers. He's talking about how the Gentile sinner, because he's going to talk about what they were. Now, he said, don't walk like they were. And what does he say? How do they live? The futility of their mind. In other words, their thoughts are futile. They're not producing anything good for them. Their thoughts. Why? Because they talk what they think. They're talking what they think. This is what they do. We need to understand, the Bible's about faith. The New Testament specifically is speaking to us of faith, of believing, confessing, talking. This is what it's about. He goes on, having what? Their understanding darkened. Now, see, first of all, we're going to find it says alienated from the life of God. How were we, before we got saved, we were alienated from the life of God. How? Through our understanding. In other words, what we thought, our minds kept us from God from the standpoint, we believed it wrong things. We thought wrong things. We lived. So we lived out, talked wrong things, did wrong things. He said, look, having their understanding darkened. The Bible tells us that Satan blinds the minds of unbelievers. He blinds them. Why? So they don't see the light of the truth. We were blinded. And one day the light came on in us. And what happened? Our minds changed. Our minds changed. He said, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that was in them, because of the blindness of their heart. See, they could get saved. They didn't let those thoughts enter their mind. Their thoughts were evil thoughts. The only thing, you know, understand this. My mind is the gateway to my heart. My heart is not going to believe anything my mind won't let it in. See, that's why the power of the gospel is words preached. The power of the gospel can penetrate the mind of an individual to get person. That's why words have to be said. People have to hear things for them to believe. Because they can't get it into their heart till they accept it and let it go through their mind to get in their heart. Now, that was a condition. We were in that condition before we got saved. It says these group, it says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Why? They're following this darkened mind. They talk this darkened mind stuff. They're fulfilling all of this. So therefore, this is what they have in their lives. This is what they are. Now, what does he say? Verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. Now, here's the believer. He's talking to the believer. Look, and he's telling, look, the Gentiles out here that are lost, this is what they're doing. He said, you haven't learned Christ in this manner. He's talking to these people. They got darkened minds. And because they have darkened minds, they have darkened hearts. And they're darkened hearts. Well, they're talking darkness. They're talking those things. And he says, you haven't learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. He's telling the believer how not to act like the world acts. He said, you haven't learned Christ in the manner. Why these people are living out here and living in a certain way. They're living. He said, you got hold it. This isn't what you are. She's not interesting. That's what we're told we are. You just sin just like the sinner. You're just going to. He said, you haven't learned Christ that way. And I think, oh, poor Christians, many Christians sit in church, and that's exactly how they've learned it. Well, Paul's telling this group they weren't taught that way. And so he said, if indeed you have heard of him and have been taught by him and the truth that is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to this deceitful lust, and be renewed, what? In the spirit of your mind. Be changed how you think. See, this is one thing, is changing how you think. Change what you think. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So you want to put that on. How are you going to put it on? The renewing of the mind, changing the way that you think. See, if you think these thoughts, you know, I'm just a sinner. He said, look, you guys haven't been taught you're like the world. You can't put on the outside what's on the inside thinking wrong. Why? What stops that? What you say? You're going to talk what's on your mind. You know, people say that, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Or, you know what, I'm going to tell you what I think. Well, I hope what you think is the right thing, because if it's the wrong thing, you're going to voice the wrong thing and you're setting in motion more of the wrong stuff. I've had people say this to me. I've shared with them like healing. They want healing. And I'll share with them what the Bible says about it. And they'll look at me and say, well, this is what I believe about it. And I know what I'm going to get, an earful of what the Bible didn't say. But this is the way I believe it. And then I look at them and tell them, well, because the way you believe, I can't help you, because if that's what you believe, we're two different. I'm going to follow what the Bible says to head to that direction. You believe what you want. I can't help you till you change your mind. This is why the Satan works so hard to pervert people's minds. This is what he does. This is his tactic. Get you to believe wrong stuff. He wants you to believe wrong things. Let's back over. I wasn't going to use this scripture, but let's go back to Romans, the 12th chapter. And you'll see what the Apostle Paul here wrote to the church at Rome, which we just read what he wrote over here to the Colossian church. And now we're going to read. Listen what he says here in Romans 12. And we'll close with these scriptures here on this. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Some translations have reasonable service of worship. In other words, our worship to God isn't just singing songs to him and praising him, saying, thank you, Lord. It's the conduct of our body. Now, listen to what he says. We're supposed to present our bodies. We are. Well, didn't Paul tell them on the outside, we got to put the new guy on, not the old man. We got to put the new guy on. Well, here's what he's saying. Now, we got to present our bodies. Well, how do you do it? He said, this is the way you do it. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to the world. Well, don't we hear that preach? You know, we shouldn't act like the world. Well, how do I not act like the world? He says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do you do it? Your mind. The renewing, it says, by that being transformed. That word transformed is the actual Greek word there, is the word that we get the word metamorphosis from. The word of God will do a transformation. It'll transform the way you think. It will supernaturally do that to change the way you think. Why? Because the way you think is the way you're going to talk. And if you can't talk the right thing, you'll never get the right thing on the outside. That's how you do it. That's how faith works. See, all this is done by faith. It's not done by works. All the Bible says, you know, I'm supposed to act right. Now, I know I'm supposed to act right, but I just can't act right. I don't know why. You know, I just live like an old sinner, and I just can't help it. You know, well, you know, we're just going to sin. What am I going to do? Well, that's exactly. Your mind has never been renewed to the thought. And so your voice follows that thinking. And see, most people look at this and they say, yeah, I want to do good. I want my body to be right. But you know what? Most Christians aren't taught how faith really works. How it's what you believe and what you say. That's why most Christians had a terrible time with Kenneth Hagin. Oh, no, he's teaching this stuff, and that ain't right what he's teaching us. It's exactly right. It's exactly right. It starts saying the right things. It starts speaking. But we do that by changing what we think. And that's why is when we look at the Word of God, and I'm teaching these things, is why. So when people listen to these things, it'll change their minds. As they begin to see the right things to do, as they begin to say the right things, through doing that, you can put on the outside the new guy and bring the old thing under subjection. The only reason if there's the old nature, and when I say nature, I'm not talking about spiritual nature. We Christians practice the things from the old nature, I should say, is because they still think like the old nature. That's a mental thing. That's not a spiritual thing. Your spirit is born again. It's blameless. It's holy. The real you. If it's not, you ain't going to heaven. Just forget it. We don't go to heaven because of the outside. We go to heaven because of the inside. The inside. So what we do is now what we want manifestation on the outside of what's on the inside. There's only one way to do that, and that's to allow the voice of the inside to be the voice of the outside. That's how we do it. And you can't do that if we don't change the way we think. When you change the way you think, what happens? Your thoughts become thoughts of holiness and blamelessness. And so you're in cooperation with what's on the inside. And you start speaking then what's on the inside and gets to be spoken out. And then things start manifesting in you on the outside. Then you start acting better, start doing better. I've learned this. If I cannot get a person to change their voice, I can't usually help them change. They're going to have to change your voice. I've had people where God's allowed me to pray over them and change some things for them. But over a period of time, it came back because they never renewed their mind. And after a while, they're in the same mess they were before because they still talk the same junk. That's why the Lord told me, he said, counseling people, he said, don't counsel people that don't go to your church. Don't counsel. He said, you counsel every Sunday morning. He said, if they don't come and listen on Sunday mornings, he told me this. He said, your best counseling is when you're anointed teaching the word. He said, if they don't want to listen to that, they don't want to spend time listening, he said, you can't help them. Why? Because just what most people want to do in counseling, you know, just tell me something I can just quick do so I can go back and do what I did before. I just want to get this fixed so I can go do it. And it isn't, that isn't how it works. People need to sit and listen and listen and listen and listen and listen. And here and here and here. Folks, I know it's true because I'm still under that myself. I got to keep listening and hearing, studying. Why? You can't change without it. That's why when we were talking about before, if you look at people, the way people are taught, you see the outcome of their life. When people are over here and, you know, sort of, you know, party people, well, don't be surprised if you're around them and they do drunks and doing a bunch of crazy stuff all the time and doing, why? That's the way they're trained around. They believe around. They talk around. That's what they manifest. And so it's like with myself, I found that when I got saved, I was going to have to make some huge changes about my thinking. I had to make great changes and then learn to talk those things that I was hearing if I wanted to live a changed life. I was going to have to do that. I had to follow the principles of the Bible. It almost sounds a little bit ridiculous in a way that when we look at this and saying, is that easy to believe something and say it? Is that, you know? Yeah, it is. That's the key to start it all off. There's no use going to beyond that if we're not going to do that. There's no use to go on to trying to act right if my voice is working against me. Because, you know, we continue to fail. And the Bible says, "What if we keep sowing," it said, you know, "in due season, you're going to reap." That's what it says, due season. Now think of that. Remember, your voice saying the right thing is a constant sowing and watering that you're doing. The Bible says one guy waters, one guy sows, and another guy waters. Well, in our own life, we can be our own sower and waterer. See, when you sow the words, you've been put them out there, then you become the waterer of the words. You keep saying the right season things, and what happens? In due season, you reap a reward. In due season, after you found out, you know, the things, I found this, certain things that I struggled in my flesh and dealing with, as I confess the word more and more, today there's certain things I don't struggle with at all anymore because I have talked and I have gained a way of talking that I don't struggle with that anymore because now I got that thing working. Man, but you know what? I can't change the way I talk about it. I can't change the way I believe what I think and say. I got to continue to do that. But to practice over time, the years of doing it, now that stuff's under control. That stuff I can deal with. And so getting ourselves saying the right things and speaking the right things, doing the right things. I found out, you know, it's one thing is I found out this over the years of just in the areas of diet. That's why people can't stay with diets. I'll never find a person ever keep control of their mouth. They're always saying the wrong things. They're always talking about, I'm hungry all the time. I'm this. That's what they do. They're talking, no, you know, it's hard. It's hard not to eat. It's hard. And then they're trying to go on a diet. Well, the whole time they work against themselves. And then when they do finally get all the struggle through and they do it, and they know they end up back in a mess again, they're back across. They have never controlled what they believe and said. So they can never bring it under control. You can't bring it under control till you bring your mouth under control. And I get people do that, say, oh, you can go to all this diet stuff and you can do all this thing. If you don't bring your believing in your mouth under control, you could try dieting and doing all this kind of stuff. But man, it's painful. It is. You know, I talk myself into not being hungry and I don't get hungry. And I knew this. I wanted to lose some weight. But you know what? I sat around and thought, all I'm just going to have to do with the Bible. So I'm going to have to get over and start. And you know what? Before I started any dieting, first of all, I got my mouth in line with my heart. Started talking the right stuff. This is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to be able to do this, and this will work. And I'm going to, you know, as people say, well, I hope this works. I've tried this, and that's exactly why none of them work. You only just try them. You have no confidence or faith in none of it, and you run your body down by talking against it, and you got it. They say, why doesn't this work for me? Well, nothing can work for you till you get in line. With your believing and what you say. You know, spend a month talking the right stuff before you try to do it. It'd be a good thing to do. Now, we obviously, well, I want to do this right now. No, you plan, you sit down. I've learned this. If I'm going to move in a direction, I usually start ahead of time, a month or so ahead of time, and I start saying myself and start speaking to myself. You know, when Wanda and I did things about our finances, I spent a long time in changing here over the last few years. I spent a long period of time beginning to say and start talking different things and setting in motion some things to where I wanted to begin to start to work on myself in an area. Because if you don't change, if you don't renew your mind, you ain't going to have no transformation. And see, we're so like, well, right, the last, well, I just got to do this now. You know, I got to be able to get in this clothing now I got here. So I'm going to start. Well, I'm going to do it today. Well, if you haven't made preparation, man, it could be a real workout for you. It's one of the things I've found. I've learned it is so much easier if I have my mind, get my mind in the right frame before I go. And I don't find that I can always get my mind in the right frame just like that. I don't know about you. Maybe you're much better than I am. I don't know. But I find it takes me time to get my thinking into a thing. You know, I got to convince myself I want to do this. You know, I can look down the word and I like the benefit of what you get from it, but I'm not always as happy about starting off to do what I need to do to get it. And what I do is I got to get myself and convince myself that this is the right direction to have in, and this is what I'm going to do. And I start saying the right things. And after a while, I find out, hey, man, I'll do this. I'll do it. So learn to do that. Don't be, you know, the world out here is always trying to, you know, and even in church worlds, just right this instant, we got to do this. Or, you know, God, you know, is going to, oh, he wants you to right now. One of the big things is changing. It doesn't do you good to change something if you haven't changed your what's going on in your heart and mind about it. God's interest in your heart. He's looking at our hearts. I want to, what's in my heart, I want to be in line with my mind, in line with what's in my heart. I want my heart in line with what the Word says. I want to believe it right. And I want my mind to start thinking that way. And then I want to start putting those words out and start saying those words. There's one thing that will really help your mind is to saying the right words. Just to saying the right words. You know, it's like with me, I knew this, if I wanted to lose weight, I wasn't going to go through a whole workout system of how to work out, train, trying to lose weight. Because what happens, I knew this, I had to deal with my appetite. That's what I had to deal with, my appetite. That's what I did. So I knew to deal with my appetite, I'm dealing with something that's not just, you know, I can go out here and so I can just run a lot, do this and that, and lose some weight. That's fine if you want to go that way, but lots of times you're going to spend the rest of your life just having to do that all the time. And as soon as you quit doing it, you balloon up. I know. I'm not knocking anybody. This, I know it. I know what these things were. But I had to turn around and I knew I had to deal with my appetite. And to deal with my appetite, I had to do this. I was going to do, I was going to have to deal with what was on the inside. By believing on the inside, I was going to have to get thinking in my mind. And I was going to have to start saying the right stuff and speaking the right things to bring myself into line about that. And it worked. It worked. But it wasn't an instantaneous. It did. I had to start saying the right things and working. And that's why it does work. We have this idea that, well, you just strap up. Well, but wouldn't it be nice if you just instantaneously always just strap up or always do it right? This is what leads people to failure because they think like that. Well, the scripture isn't like that. The scriptures I just showed you told us mostly was dealing with about our mind, wasn't it? Well, you don't change the way you think overnight, do you? This is process. So don't quit on yourselves. Don't quit on yourself on something just because you don't get it right away. It's a way of changing the way you think. If you can go over and get changing your thinking by starting to use your voice to say, after a while, what you're saying and thinking are in line, and it changes you. You'll know it, man. It's like, wow, I got this thing. I have it. And that's what you want to come to that point, because you want to come past the place where you're always trying to struggle to attain what you want to attain. See, I've messed with stuff where I struggle for long periods of time, but I never really came to the place where I was walking in faith, Bible faith, to bring it to pass. But I found out when I went over and put my energy into working it out, to getting my heart and mind and my mouth in line, then when I began to work on the thing, I found out, boy, this isn't the toughie that I thought it was going to have. It's doing that. Set your faith in motion first. Start to work on the faith angle first, because that's where the power is at. Because if you could do all this stuff by your willpower, you wouldn't need God nor His Word. I learned a long time, Ed's willpower is not enough. I need fortification in the willpower area. I don't know about you. I do. And I do it. I found it comes by the power of the Word of God, to believe what the Word says and start talking what the Word says. Getting my mind renewed to what it says. And boy, when that all gets working in motion, it's a hugely powerful thing. We know that Jesus has had it in motion when he spoke to the tree. Come back, it's dried up by the roots. It's dried up. Jesus says to the guys, just believe in your heart. Don't doubt it. And say that mountain. Tell it to move. It'll go. Hallelujah. But see, you had to get believing in your heart, not doubting. Then you had to do the talking. It didn't do the moving till you got those things running right. Praise God, you can do it. We can renew our mind, and it doesn't happen overnight, so don't get critical on yourself, because what happens is you'll quit. No, it says in due season, you'll reap the reward. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Father, I pray for anyone who listens to this teaching, and Lord God, especially, there's so many people that need to hear these kinds of things, because Lord God, so many Christians struggle in their faith. And they struggle terribly. And Lord God, you didn't make faith a thing that we struggle in. And Father, I want to thank you. You've taught us a process. And Lord God, truly it is a process of learning to walk and develop in these things. And I want to thank you, Father God, you didn't make a process that we can't do. And Lord God, you're not waiting for us to accomplish it, then you'll help us. No, you're the one that helps us accomplish it. I thank you for your power that's working in us as we believe your word in our hearts and we speak it with our mouth. I thank you, Lord God. Our minds are being renewed. And Lord God, your strength and power is working in us. And Lord God, I want to thank you that we're reaping the reward of the things, Lord God, of all the blessings that you've already blessed us with in every Lord God, every blessing. It's every spiritual blessing that has been given. It is ours. It belongs to us, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.